Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Honvan, our special guest, Elizabeth Rest, who's an attorney. Okay, here's our first trivia question. Who was the first Republican president of the United States?
Lincoln.
Yes. Good old Abe Lincoln. Very good. That's why I figured it was easy, because it was an easy president to remember. Not like Zachary Taylor or someone like that, you know, John Tyler.
Or Taft.
Yeah, your favorite.
All these lesser-known presidents.
My favorite obscure president is Taft. I always vote for Taft.
Yeah, for as much as he weighed, he was a president and a half, 300 and some pounds. So anyway, right. Elizabeth, you specialize in trademark attorneyism, I guess. Mark, you were going to ask her.
Yeah, so you were just talking about, like, a lot of people will, you know, try this at home. There's so many things you can do online with LegalZoom, et cetera. And I would imagine a lot of your practice is defending trademark violations. Describe a typical situation where you're helping a client where they're claiming some kind of trademark violation.
Sure. You know, that can absolutely run the gamut. But the most common are counterfeiting, where someone is, you know, just absolutely copying, making your product and selling it as if it were real. You've all heard of the fake Chanel bags and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's counterfeiting. There's definitely a lot of work in that area. And then the other one is where someone will have a trademark and they come out with a product or a service that's a competing product or service with a very similar name.
So in other words, Coke has the real thing and someone else comes up with, it's almost the real thing.
Yeah, well, that would be pretty clear cut. But, you know, there are a lot of nuances in this. The standard in trademark law is a likelihood of confusion. So you don't actually have to show that consumers are confused. But what you have to show in order to show that there's an infringement of your trademark is that consumers are likely to be confused.
I mean, that's very subjective. What do you do?
It is very subjective. Trademark law as a whole is very subjective. And, you know, much to the chagrin of a lot of trademark practitioners and a lot of brand owners as well. But, you know, there are standards.
So I've heard from people who were trying to get patents. They were a little nervous. In some cases, their attorney told them, don't go for a patent, because all you've done is open yourself up for someone to do a little bit of tweaking, and then they can do it on their own legally. Is the same thing with a trademark? Do you open yourself up to someone stealing it?
Not necessarily. With a patent, you can reverse engineer a scientific discovery. And if you've come up with it yourself, you haven't infringed. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of wiggle room with regard to patents. And like you said, someone can just change one little tiny thing and potentially come up with a new product. With trademarks, because of this likelihood of confusion standard, let's say that the goods are completely different. You know, let's say the trademark is trademark, which of course would never be allowed, but let's just use that as an example. And my product is selling, you know, produce, apples, oranges, et cetera. And someone came out with another company and they wanted to call it trademark and they were selling air conditioning. Well, I probably wouldn't have room to protest because there's not likely to be any confusion in the marketplace. So you look at both confusion as to the market itself, and as to the goods and services. Likewise, if someone were to come up with another produce company and they wanted to call it trademark, I'd probably have an argument there.
Gotcha.
They haven't used my mark.
Isn't there certain rules about using the words like United States versus, you know, U.S.?
There's a lot of rules. Yeah, there's a lot of rules. You can't use flags. You can't use certain people's names. Presidents, for example, going back to your trivia question. There's a lot of rules of what you can and can't use in a trivia.
You know, it's funny. There was an old Sergeant Bilko episode. This is talking in the 1950s, where this guy was named Conrad Hilton. And so he opened up. Figured out a way to use his name and go, hey, legally his name is Hilton. And then Hilton basically settled with him for that.
That actually happens. And there's a rule in trademark law where you can't get a trademark if your mark is what they call primarily a surname. So Smith, for example. Because it wouldn't be fair to everyone out there in the world named Smith who all of a sudden couldn't use their name.
So he decided to change the name to Rockefeller. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever trademark like a company name? Like, for example, you can do obviously a fictitious business statement, which I did when I first founded Pacific Private Money. Then I incorporated it in California. But I've always kind of wondered if I should, if I really wanted to protect that, you know, nationwide, is there something more I should do for the name Pacific Private Money? And is it typical that you take a business name and register it or trademark it, or how do you protect that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I highly recommend getting a trademark registration for business names, so long as you're using it as a trademark. And that's sort of the catch. You know, if my business name is, you know, whatever it is, you know, LLC, but I do business as something else, which a lot of people do that. They don't do business as their corporate or LLC name. I can't get a trademark for what my company name is. But if you're using it to provide goods or services to the public, absolutely get a trademark registration. And the key is, in the US, you have to be doing business in interstate commerce. So that means, you know, across state lines, business between states, something like that.
And so how do businesses protect themselves from counterfeiters?
Well, there's a lot of ways that you can, and it sort of depends on the level of counterfeiting. So for one, if you're talking about, you know, huge, and I, you know, hate to say this, but the big countries where counterfeiting is happening are China and Brazil. And so if you are dealing, yeah, I know it's, everyone always is surprised by Brazil, but one of the things you can do is register your trademarks with customs, and it's very, very cheap. And then what will happen is anytime goods or services cross through customs, they will check their trademark list. And if goods come in that look suspicious to them, they'll pull them out and they'll call the trademark owner and notify them and say, hey, are these legitimate? Should we let this across the
board? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great service. So, and you can do that in almost every jurisdiction in the world.
Very cool. Yeah, there's got to be some international laws like that. So,
one thing you should, sorry to interrupt, I was just going to say trademark rights are jurisdictional and everybody forgets that. So, let's say you have a registration in the US, you have no protection in Europe, China, you know, anywhere else. You have to get registrations in every country where you operate.
Okay. And Elizabeth, before we let you go, why don't you give out your information so the audience, if they have any questions about trademarks, they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Elizabeth Rest, and my firm is Crown LLP in San Francisco. Our website is www.crownllp.com. And my email address is elizabeth@crownllp.com.
Which I assume you trademarked before you got it.
I have a trademark for Crown, for legal services.
Yeah, that would look good if someone ripped off
the you. Especially the branding firm.
Okay, we're going to cut to our second trivia question. What is the hottest planet? Now, you only have 8 to choose from because Pluto, unfortunately, it lost its planet status. Must have done something wrong. Call 888-912-1190 to answer this question. What is the hottest planet? All right, stay with us. You are listening to The Best of Investing. We are going to be right back. Don't touch that dial.